honestly tell you, I did not have all. I was negligent. I had a tirda yesterday, and I didn't have really the proper, adequate time to prepare. So you'll help me out in some of the ideas that we're going to say. Well, maybe it'll be more of a half-baked, food-for-thought ideas. Parsha begins with V'eschanan el Hashem, v'eisahi leimor, Hashem elokim atachi leis l'hareis avtecha, es galucha v'esyotcha hachazaka. Asher mikel ba'ashamayim uva'aretz, asher yasech ma'asech v'chig v'roisech. Chazal tells us, Rashi tells us, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was mispalel 515 tefillos b'gematria v'eschanan. Okay, v'eschanan el Hashem. So the Rashi was that is the baliturim. Okay, v'eschanan, neither of the above. I thought it was a Rashi. Medrash. Moshe was mispalel for the word v'eschanan. I supplicated el Hashem v'es hahi lemor. 515 tefillos b'gematria v'eschanan. All of the commentators, they go to town on this. There's a very beautiful vart that the word machane is b'gematria 103. The word har is two times. It's 206. Sodeh is three times. I didn't really prepare this. I'm going to go into the gematrias, but basically, there's a lot of Torah about the word, the significance in Moshe Rabbeinu selecting the word for Eschanan to describe the way he prayed to Hashem. And among those ideas, I didn't make the calculation. I saw the calculation in great detail, and I went through it, but I don't remember all the details. Todd, to give it over to you. If you Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zion Adar, how many tefillos does a person daven during this? This is a drush, but if it holds up and you can test it, how many tefillos does a person daven a day? Three, Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv. How many? But there's an exception. Shabbos, you don't daven personal supplications. So, 6 days a week, a person davens three times a day. Not, but we don't include Shabbos. If Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zion Adar, and we go and we assume that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed three times a day, and you go backwards from Zion Adar, it would come out that Moshe Rabbeinu began to daven for the first time to go into Eretz Yisrael on Tu B'Av. Okay, Shachris Tu B'Av would be Tefillah number one. Mincha, not Ma'ariv, because that's also part of a very interesting idea. This idea of Tu B'Av is the Yom Tov. Does that include only the day? Or is there a Yom Tov of Tu B'Av at night? So, halacha, it has to be, we view the Yom Tov begins at night, because we don't say Tachnon Erev Tu B'Av. Okay? It's not so simple. What, yeah? Gets longer. Now it gets longer, but does that mean that the sun, I think that's right the other way around. Is that the sun now begins to get weaker, so the simcha will then be the following night. Okay, it's a very interesting topic of discussion. Tu B'Av is a Yom Tov. Is the Yom Tov of Tu B'Av, whatever it represents, does it begin like every other holiday at night? Or maybe the Yom Tov of Tu B'Av begins with the crack of dawn by day? Tu B'Av obviously is very special. There's significance in the fact that it's Tu B'Av. When does that specialness begin? Does it begin at night, or does it begin by day? Well, we have to go through all the reasons why Tu B'Av is a very special day. One of the reasons, the main reason it says in the Gemara, is because the Shevatim were able to marry one another. Ikar Hadin, it used to be, in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it's not at all simple. What we do today is that a person can only get married by day, not at night. Why? Because getting married is a Maisa Bezdin. The Mesader Kiddushin represents the Av Bezdin. And being that it's a Maisa Bezdin, din is only done by day. I'll give you an example. A divorce, Rachman son of divorce, and Shulchan Aruch, it says only by day. Because a divorce is a Maisa Bezdin. And a Maisa Bezdin must be by day. By day, not by night. And in the Rishonim, I think the Shulchan Aruch leaves out the din of day in Shulchan Aruch for weddings. It says it for divorces, but not for weddings. And the sources of should it be only by day or by night, by weddings and divorce, are exactly the same. And yet the Shulchan Aruch was Mishane. For a divorce, he makes mention of it being done by day, but by a wedding, he omits it. So many of the commentators say just because he omitted it, it doesn't matter. It's still a wedding must be done by day. And this is a fact that in many, many communities back in the day, throughout the world, until we came to America, the global village, they were makbid that the kiddushin must be done by day because the mesader kiddushin serves as the function of an av bezdin. It's a maisa bezdin, and the maisa bezdin is done by day. If that would be the case, and the ikatam of Tu B'Av is because the shavatim are mutter to marry one another, marriage is a maisa bezdin, it's done by day, then the ikas simcha would only begin by day, not at night. Okay, but today we don't follow that halacha for whatever reason. Today there's no issue whatsoever. A person can get married at night. We don't follow that for whatever the reasons are. That's just a side topic, is that we have this is an interesting topic of discussion. When exactly does Tu B'Av begin? The simcha and the in of Tuvah is good by day, or is it good at night? Now, in any event, the reason why I'm telling you this is that if you make the calculation very, very carefully, if Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Adar in the late afternoon, he already died in Mincha, and you work your way backwards, I don't know the calculation. If anyone wants the calculation, speak to me. I'll send you a copy of the calculation in minute detail. It will result that going backwards, 515 tefillos takes you to Shachris on Tu B'Av. So Tu B'Av was the beginning when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Vo eschanan, the gematria, 515, I began to dive into Hashem for 515 tefillos, El Hashem, Vo esahi leimar, and this was my tefillah. Hashem Elohim. What? Shabbos, you don't count Shabbos at all. Because Shabbos, not at all. Because Shabbos, you don't daven your personal tefillahs. Over here, we're discussing personal prayers. So it's three times.
18 a week.
18 a week, correct.
What about Yom
Tov? I have a calculation.
Like Yom 5 and Yom Kippur, whatever.
Could be whatever. But he makes a calculation going backwards. You're going backwards from Zayin Adar. It would come out, when you go backwards, from Zayin Adar, 515 prayers, it comes out that Moshe Rabbeinu began to be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Tu B'Av, asking Hashem to please let him come into Eretz Yisrael. And he says these words, Atah hachilei sola harais avdecha es gadlecha v'es yadcha hachazaka asher mikel b'ashamayim uva'aretz asher yasech ma'asech v'chi gvur v'asecha. And these words are elaborate. They express very great praise, and then he begins to describe Ebernov, Eres, Aretz, Hatevah. He goes on to make his request. But he begins with praise. Being that we know that Tu B'Av is a day that is miyuchad, is a day, a special day of Shiduchim, where there's a special siyata d'shmaya in matters relating to prayer for Shiduchim, especially because we learned yesterday, it was the day when the Shvatim Uchutu Lovay Zebezeh, the whole drush we had yesterday, they told Hashem, we're willing to give up our prospects for Shiduchim, so that our father has a legacy, and now on Tu B'Av, that's no longer necessary. Your sacrifice is no longer necessary, and once again, you are permitted to marry anyone in Klal Yisrael. So it's a day of Shiduchim. There's no doubt about it. On this day, the girls would go out and dance, and the boys would look. Bochor sono einecha re'eh. If Moshe Rabbeinu is using this nusach on this day, obviously this nusach is, oh, this is a drush, is opening up our eyes to Shiduchim. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Ata now, Hashem Elokim, Ata you, Hachi lois laharois es avdecha, es godlecha, v'es yodcha hachazoka. Now those two terms, Rabbi Sai, are opposites. Why do I say they're opposites? When it says yodcha hachazoka in reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, look at the very end of the Torah. Ulchol hayod hachazaka, ulchol hamara hagadol, asher asa Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. The last pasuk we lay on Simchas Torah. There the word yod chazaka is used in reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we have a right to assume that the way we use the word yod chazaka by Moshe Rabbeinu is similar, parallels the way it's used by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And how does Rashi teach the words Ulchol Hayod HaChazaka in that pasuk? Ulchol Hayod HaChazaka Shekibel Es HaTorah Beluchos Biyodav Ulchol HaMara HaGadol. Let me just read further over here. Nisim ugvura shebemidbar hagadol v'hanayro le'enei kol Yisrael shenasu libo lishbor haluchais le'eneihem shenemar v'ashabreim le'eneihem v'eskima das HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'dayta shenemar asher shibarta yishar k'echacha asher shibarta. Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel the luchais for what purpose? To destroy it. Okay? So, the Yod Chazak, it's not perfect what I'm saying. In the Haggadah, we say the word Yod, the Yod HaChazak, Zu HaDever. Is that correct?
Yes.
Zu HaDever. Dever means death. It means just obliteration. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was Mekabel the Yod HaChazak, for what purpose? The end was he destroyed it. Af chaymosh Moshe Kivshan Yorach Azaka. Here, okay, this is a half baked vart, but here I believe in this pasuk, if we can decipher the deeper meaning of this expression, Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to make an observation of the miraculous way HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes Shidduchim. L'zois yispalel kol chosid le'es mitzvah. For this, a person should pray at a time of finding. And Chazal say, what does this pasuk mean, le'es mitzvah? Mitzvah, zo isha, shenemar, matzah isha, matzah toif. The ultimate koyach of tefillah, I mean, one of the main elements of tefillah is for the purpose of shidduchim. It's for shidduchim. That's what the koyach of tefillah is. L'zos yispalel kol chosid le'es mitzvah. Zu le'es mitzvah, a time of finding, and this is for zivugim. And the zivug is, as we said, matzah yisha matzah toif. If on this day we have now established Moshe Rabbeinu is beginning to be mispalel, and he opens up his koyach of tefillah, and the ikar koyach of tefillah is for shidduchim l'zos yispalel. He's coming to reflect upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu's miraculous ability to be mezaveg zivugim, and every single term over here represents another theme of how Hashem brings about shidduchim. And what does he say? You have begun to show your servant es god licha, your greatness. Greatness always means to give. V'es yodcha hachazoka, more often than not, means not to give. Not to give. In Shidduchim, many times you find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevents you from entering into a shidduch. Those who are in the business, know that just like they see, you'll hear this from the real mumchim, and some people experience this in their life, and some don't. But more often, people do experience this. They're young, and they have an opportunity to enter into a shidduch, and for some reason that's not really logical, it doesn't work out. Why not? And then they end up marrying someone else. Things happen where, why? Why didn't this clinch? And there's no logic, there's no rhyme or reason. And you can't explain it. And people who merited to live a long life, when they reflect back, they can say, I really understand now why it was not meant to be. Okay, it's easy to say those words, okay? I could just say words over here and you can laugh it off. How do you know what you're talking about over here? But people with experience have said this over and over and over, and it's probably not something you can really prove scientifically. It's something which people deep down in their heart, when they see things later in their life and they have the advantage of hindsight, they then say to themselves, you know something, the Ribbono Shel Olam did me a very big chesed in that event that I was set up. And there's really no reason why that should not have failed more so than anything else, why it did not pan out. It was a hashkocha pratis. That's called Yod HaChazaka. Yod HaChazaka, we have to do more research to prove this point is correct, because I'm not giving you concrete proof. Yod HaChazaka is a reference to where HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevents something from happening. Or we use the word destroy. Okay, Yod HaChazaka Zo HaDever. The animals just dropped dead. Life did not go forward. It did not go forward. By Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe was mekabel the luchos for what purpose? To destroy the luchos. Le'enei kol Yisrael. He took the luchos down for what purpose? The Yod HaChazaka. He held those luchos. And then what? He destroyed it. Soif ma'isa b'machshava techila. That's all part of Shidduchim. In Shidduchim, Moshe Rabbeinu says, laharois es avdecha, es god lucha. You give. You see in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mezavik zivugim. You make arrangements, you give a person what they need, what they deserve. And then you see in life, in Shidduchim, yes, yodecha, hachazaka, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he prevents Shidduchim that are logical, that are natural, that are in motion, just somehow it unravels. I've seen that Moshe Rabbeinu says. And all I can say is, in reference to that observation, Asher Mikel Bashamayim Uva'oretz Asher Yasech Masech V'chi Gvurosech. There's no creature in this world that can do what you have done, because only you know the future. Masech means the positive, and Gevura, here I'm very comfortable in translating, Gevura means the negative. Ezeu Gibor HaKoyvesh Es Yitzro. What you don't do. Gevura in the eyes of Chazal is not to do, it's the ability to control yourself. What not to do. What to prevent, not to let happen. Control yourself. The word Ma'asecha corresponds to God Licha. Hakel HaGodol. Goydel is always to give. Yodcha HaChazaka, this requires more proof, refers to not to give. Yodcha HaChazaka, the strong hand is the hand. What's strength? Strength is control. There's a time to give, but if you're very, very strong, you know when not to give. Yodcha HaChazaka, to withhold. Moshe, he took the luchos, for what purpose? To destroy the luchos. He took the luchos in order not to give the luchos. Because Klal Yisrael was not deserving.
Yeah.
From taking it away. Okay, you're adding. It's another dimension. And then Moshe says, Mikel, who can do such a thing? When it comes to Shidduchim, Shidduchim have a life to their own. And Moshe Rabbeinu is coming on this day, Today is the anniversary. Today is Tu B'Av. Today is the anniversary. Shachris, this morning, is the anniversary when Moshe Rabbeinu began his 515 prayers, which culminated on Zion Adar when he died, to pray to Hashem to let him come into Eretz Yisrael. And his observation was, let me start off with in Yonah D'Yoma. In Yonah D'Yoma, today is a day of Tefillah. Lezois Yispalel Kol Chosid Le'es Mitzo. Zo Isha Shenemar. Motzo Isha Motzo Toiv. And Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to reflect on the Koyach of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mikel Bashamayim of Oretz Asher Yaseh. There is no creature in this world that comes anywhere near the Koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Mezaveg Zivugim Kimasecha, to do things, to bring people together, V'chigvuroisecha, and to keep people apart. Because only Hashem knows the future. Only Hashem knows what kind of relationship will ultimately result from these two people. Only Hashem knows what kind of children will come from this marriage, and those children who they will marry and who their grandchildren will marry at Sof Kol HaDoros, and everything has to be in sync at Sof Kol HaDoros. Only Hashem, Bashamayim uva'aretz, because only Hashem can do kimasecha v'chig v'osecha, to do and to hold back, to be godlicha is to give each person what they need, v'yas yadcha hachazaka, and to have a strong hand not to give. Even though these two people, they are naturally compatible, Hashem will make sure they don't get married because the grandchildren might not be in the best interest of this couple, or the great-grandchildren, or the great-great-grandchildren. Hashem needs to put the world into motion to look all the way down at Soif Kol HaDoros. This expression here in Pasuk HaDalet is an observation of, is a shevach, what a person has to say when he watches a new couple get engaged, get married, and give shevach to Hashem. It's only you, Hashem, that is the one that's able to be mezaveg zivugim. Okay, let's now go.
It fits in very well with something else that's by Torah on the fact
Yeah. And when was Aaron? Aaron was
Chodesh Av. Chodesh Av. So now 2 weeks later, after they got it from Shiva, so to speak.
So why 2 weeks?
No, it says Dafka Wat in Rabbi Schwab in the Mayan Beis Hoshua, where Rabbi Schwab is saying that he knew that somebody has to remain in the Midbar. If he would have started to pray sooner than this, it would have meant he's praying for Aaron to die, and that so he could go in. But now that Aaron died, so there is somebody. There is, so to speak, a co-captain going down with the ship. So now he is free to start praying for him to go in. That's what the Mayan Beis Hoshua was saying.
Very interesting.
So it fits in with that. Only after Aaron died. He means after Aaron died.
Only after Aaron died, now
he could start to pray for himself.
2 weeks, I know it's going to be 2 weeks later. Okay, okay. Okay, now let's go to another idea. This week, we said 2 days ago, it's Shabbos Nachamu, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, a double Nechama. And the Darshanim say, what is double Nechama? The double Nechama is, we have two beautiful Inyanim in this week's parasha, special Inyanim, the Aseres Hadibros and Shema Yisrael. When it comes to the Aseres Hadibros here in this week's parasha, we have the pasuk that says something very unique about the Aseres, about Matan Torah, which it does not say anywhere else. And that is, V'chaydatim levonecha ulevnei vonecha. Yoim asher amadta lefnei Hashem lokecha b'chayrev. Here we have a pasuk that makes mention of the grandchildren. A grandfather is going to relate to the grandchildren. I'm having a hard time finding the pasuk. Where is that pasuk? It says over here, Rav Atah. Perek Vav. Perek Vav Pasuk Beis. Chavez, you said? The Zois HaMitzvah. Okay, Pasuk. Leman Tivash HaLish Ato Vincho Ven Vincho Kol Yimechayecha. Leman Yerich HaMecha. Okay, where does the Pasuk V'odat L'vonecha? Doesn't say, okay, where is that Pasuk? Where is that Pasuk? B'choyrev? Okay, that may be somewhere else. Okay, fine. That might be somewhere else. But here it says, Leman Tivash HaShem L'chayecha Lishma Eskol Chukosav. It's not in this parash then. Okay. Leman tira Hashem lokecha lishmar es kol chukoy sov mitzvah sov ashenoch mitzvah ata you.
No. Vodat pomul vanecha vnei vanecha. I knew it's early in the parsha. It's in this parsha. Perek dalet pasuk tes.
That's the perek dalet pasuk.
Yeah, I knew it. I'm laying it in my head. I know it.
Perek Dalet Pasuk. Okay. Raki Shamalacho Shmar Nafshcham Yod Pentish Levonecho Shavnecho Vinecho Vyodatam Levonecho Levnei Vonecho. So Yoyim Hashem Alachem Shachem B'Chayrei. Okay. Tupsuk. Okay. We have another one also. I think the third pasuk also. There's a theme here that's repeated over and over about the grandfather. And here it's really the main pasuk, v'hoidatam, you shall make it known livonecha, v'livnei vonecha. Very rare mitzvah, where there's a mitzvah to make known to your grandchildren what happened at Matan Torah. This, to a very large degree, is the nechama. Shabbos nachma. Let me explain this. I think I told this to you, but I want to repeat this. It's such a beautiful thing, which makes a very strong impression upon me. I had this experience myself, and I was embarrassed to say it, but then I discovered it's nothing to be embarrassed about. What happens to you always happens to someone else. When you go visit Eretz Yisrael, you go to the Mekom HaKadosh. Everyone here, I'm sure, has gone multiple times to the Kosel HaMaravi, and you've also gone to Kever Rochel. Many people will tell you that when they go to Kever Rochel, they ask them a question, where were you more Nisragish? When you went to Kever Rochel, or when you went to the Kosel HaMaravi? Anyone have this experience? You go to Kever Rochel, do you feel a hergish? You feel something special, a connection. So many people will tell you that when they went to Kever Rochel, they felt a very special sensation of spirituality. When they went to the Kosel, they didn't feel it. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But it wasn't anything near the sensation they felt when they went to the Kever Rochel. Are you allowed to even say such a thing? Is it even true? Well, many people say this. I'm telling you, I felt that same way. I went to the Kosel. It was very nice. It was a very, very interesting experience, but it was not like the but Kever Rochel, there was something I felt more. So what's the shot? So Rav Mordechai Gifter made this observation. He said himself, that's indeed correct. Many people, when they go to Kever Rochel, they will tell you they're Nisragish. When they go to the Kosel, it's very nice, and they try very hard to feel the emotion, but it doesn't come to the same level of emotion that they experience when they go to Kever Rochel. Rav Mordechai Gifter went on to say, but by me, it was the opposite. By me, when I went to the Kosel, I felt something very, very special. More than Kever Rochel. And he went on to say, let me explain to you the difference between me and you. And he said as follows. And he came to Fataych in such a very powerful way, the purpose and the essence of the significance of the chesed that Hashem has done by leaving over the Kosel HaMaravi. Kever Rochel is about a Jewish mother. Every single person in this world can relate to a mother. Even a Yosef. A mother is a mother. Every person, to a degree, has a mother. A mother loves a child. And that's a fact of reality. It's true by non-Jews. It's universal. A child and a mother are connected. There is a natural bond between a mother and a child. Rochel is Imenu. She is our mother. It is natural. When you go to the Kaisel HaMaravi, you're going to feel something because Rochel is the mother of Klal Yisrael. Rochel mevakeh al boneha. Mevakeh loshon mekevakeh al boneha. Rochel mevakeh al boneha. Rochel cries for her children. It is natural for a person to feel emotion when they go to the Kaisel HaMaravi. What is the Kaisel? When they go to Kever Rochel. What is the Kaisel? The Kaisel is a time machine. Hashem left over the Kaisel. The Kaisel is the last remnant of what existed almost 2,000 years ago. It has absolutely no connection to today. There is nothing about the Kaisel HaMaravi that is relevant to today. Just a relic of the past. That's all it is. It's stones of the Azara, of the structure that once upon a time, almost 2,000 years ago, was the Mokoyim Hashua Sashina. Is it holy? Yeah, it's very holy. But is it functional today? No, there's no function today. It's not operational. It's holy? Yeah, it's definitely holy. But it's not functional. So what is it then? It's a place that gives you the ability to go back in time, to travel in time, and put yourself in the shoes of people living 2,000 years ago in this location. So Mordechai Giffen said, let me explain to all of you young people as follows. When I was a little boy, 13 years old, 12 years old, whatever it was, I left America. I went to Lithuania to study. I went to Telz. Telz was located, a city in Lithuania. And in Telz, there were the greatest people I ever saw. The Blach family, and this family, and that family. The greatest Bali Musa. People of Musa. There's no such thing as Musa today. Musa. And exalted levels of spirituality. And then came the war, and they destroyed it. Totally destroyed it. And now in America, we're starting from scratch to pick up the pieces from all over again. In America, do I see in my eyes anything near what I saw in my youth in Lithuania, in Telz? Nothing comes close. When I go to the Kaisel HaMaravi, I'm going into a time machine. The whole essence of the Kaisel HaMaravi is to take you back in time. Take me back in a time machine to a different generation, to the generation of the people living in the Beis HaMikdash 2,000 years ago. And that's a tall order. That's a tall order to get on a train in a time machine and go back 2,000 years. But at least the Kaisel HaMaravi is the vehicle which takes you back. So I can't go in that time machine back 2,000 years because by me, they throw me off the train after one stop. But at least the vehicle of the Kaisel HaMaravi takes me back one stop to Lithuania, to Telz. And I relive a bygone era. In other words, the Kaisel HaMaravi is a time machine. It's a relic of the past. It's holy, it's not functional, but it gives you, it's meant to give you the ability to go back. Unfortunately, the young generation, they have no appreciation, it's not their fault, of what it was like, the sanctity to live in the previous generations. There's no way for them to get that sense of appreciation, what life was like back in previous generations. So they go to the Kaisel HaMaravi, they look at the train, and they don't get on. Because they just don't know how to get on. I have Mordechai gifted, in essence, what he said. I'm putting words into his mouth. He's saying, I also can't get on the train on the level to go all the way back to the time of the Beis HaMikdash. But at least I can get on the train and go back one stop. What's my one stop? I can go back to Lithuania, to Telz. That's the Koisil Hamaravi. It takes you back. You have to, but I have to have a place to go back to. If you're a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and you know the depth and the Kedusha of Torah, then you can tacha go back when you come to the Koisil Maravi. The Koisil Maravi is the makom that can take you back. You need to be there. You need to be there to go back, and you need to be on an exalted level of spirituality to appreciate where you're going to go to. The young people of this generation, they don't have the tools to appreciate what it was in the past, so coming to the train station is not going to do anything for them. For me, at least I can go to this train station that could take me back one stop and appreciate, take me back. If I go to the other Mekoy Mesakadoshim, it doesn't take me back. Because that's not what it's for. To go to Kvarim, to go to Shul, it's very nice, I daven, it's very holy, but it's not going to take me back. The essence of the whole Mahus of the Koisil Hamaravi is to take you back to a previous generation. We come now to Shabbos Nachamu. Shabbos Nachamu, what's the Nechama? It's gone. It's all lost. What's the Nechama? The Koisil Hamaravi? We're the young people today. We go to the Koisil Hamaravi. It's a very nice train. It'll take us back to the time of the Beis Hamikdash. But I don't have a ticket to get on that train to go back. Along comes Parshas Vaeschanan. And the Torah gives a mitzvah d'oraisa v'hoidatam levonecha ulevnevonecha. Three times in this parsha, grandparents, teach, give them a ticket. Grandparents, you know what it was like back in the day. You saw things that your grandchildren will never see. Give them that appreciation of a different bygone era, so that now when they can come to the remnant that we have left, the only thing left, all that's left is stones. Tisha B'Av is over. What do we got out of it? Nothing. All we got is a pile of stones. What does it do for us? What's the nechama? Shabbos v'eschanan is the nechama. You have the stones of the Koisil Hamaravi. It's a time machine. But you need somewhere to go. Grandparents, you are the ones that can put into the mind, open up the imagination of your grandchildren, a different world. So that when they now go to the rubble, the last remnant of the Churban, and they stand there, they'll have a place to go. They'll hear from their grandparents what greatness really is. And once they have an appreciation of what it was three generations, four generations back, it'll open up their minds to begin to fathom what it was like five generations, six generations, seven generations. If your parents talk to you, you're going to laugh them off. You're not going to make one bit of a difference. Your parents say something to you because, listen, I've been around together with you. We're in this together, pretty much. Don't tell me what it was like. I know what it was like. I see what goes on. But a grandparent? That's already different. That is the Shabbos of Nechama. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. What's the Nechama? We're addressing the grandparents. That is who Yeshaya is speaking to. He's coming to parallel V'hoidatom levonecha V'levnei vonecha Perek Dalet Pasuk Tes Yoy Masha Malta Lifnei Hashem Lekecha B'choirev. Teach your children, your grandchildren, what it was like when you stood before your Rebbe at your Kabbalah Satya, when you learned Torah in your yeshiva, by your Roshiva, in your generation. It was different. It was a different world. Every generation, that's the reality. The reality is the Skatnu Hadaris, unfortunately, that's how it is. Open up their minds, they should appreciate it used to be a lot different. Okay, that's one Vart for Shabbos Nachmu. Another Vart. New Vart. Why does it say Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami? What is the repetition? What is the simple meaning of the word Nachamu? Change your mind. when a person goes to be Menachem and Avel, what in essence is he doing? He's saying to the Avel, Avel, you're in mourning. You can't live with yourself. You're in a deep state of mourning. Change your way of thinking. Don't focus on the dead. You have to stop focusing on the past. You have to change your attitude and look to the future. Isn't that what Nechama is? To change your way of thinking. What happens when you say the word Nachamu, Nachamu? That's pretty scary. It's a double negative. In other words, this that you were planning to say, listen, Tisha B'Av is over. So let's change our frame of mind. For the last 3 weeks, it's always been, you go every night to a shir, you go at night to a shir, it's always the same thing over and over again. Gloom and doom, the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, they've been destroyed, the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash. For 3 weeks, they're hacking you in the head, wherever you turn, the Chor Beis HaMikdash. Oh, Tisha B'Av is over. Now it's time to change the topic of conversation. Tisha B'Av is over. It's now time to party. Nachamu. Change your way of thinking. Yeshaya says, change that way of thinking. This that you plan to change your way of thinking and to forget about Yerushalayim, I want you to change that and don't forget about Yerushalayim. In other words, Vayimoein lehisnachem. Yaakov Avinu was told that his son Yosef was dead. Hakerna! Look, what more do you want? Here's the Kesoinis Pasim, drenched in blood. What do you want? He's dead. Enough. Yaakov, enough. Have Nechama. Change your way of thinking. Get up and let's move forward. Vayimoein lehisnachem. He refused. I will never get off from Shiva. That's exactly, we look at Shabbos Nachamu as, oh, Baruch Hashem, it's over. Now it's time for the hotels. It's time for the barbecues. It's time for the weddings. Let the ceremony begin. Let the show begin. Isn't that what it's all about? Yeshaya says, no, 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 no. You got it all wrong. What Yeshaya really should have said is, Vayimoein lehisnachem. The tragedy is so great. What happened on Tisha B'Av? Don't ever get up from Shiva. You should remain Navelus forever until Hashem rebuilds the Beis HaMikdash. And that's not popular to say, obviously. You're not going to like that, so he didn't say that. But he was mirames to that by using the double negative. Nachamu. Change your, I'm going to change my attitude. You're going to change your attitude? Nachamu. Change that attitude. Change your attitude that I should change my attitude. This that you think I'm going to change my attitude and not think about the Beis HaMikdash anymore because it's over? I think you should change that attitude and you should think about the Beis HaMikdash continuously. Now, he didn't say it in that fashion, but he's mirames to it because it's also true. On the one hand, Avada, you got to get up and move forward. Nachamu, al derech pshat, nachamu, nachamu ami, let's go forward. But mitzat sheni, he didn't say nachamu ami. He said, nachamu, dva nachamu esami. Change the attitude that you could have comfort from the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Because the truth is, you cannot. It's not a stira. You have simcha, you can have simcha while you also think about the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, different levels. What's the problem? You got to open up the dimensions here. It's not everything black and white. There are many dimensions to everything. It's not black. There's many dimensions. There's a nachamu, nachamu. Mitzarechot, have nachamu. But mitzad sheni, don't be like the nations of the world. When it's over, finish. Change your attitude that there's a possibility that we could ever have nechama for the churban beis hamikdash. Because the truth is we can't. And that's the secret to our survival. That is the secret for our survival. Napoleon, everyone knows what Napoleon? Napoleon saw people sitting shiva, and they told him sitting shiva for their temple. When did your temple, well, what temple? 2,000 years ago, wasn't it? Then it was 1,500 years ago. You're mourning for something 1,500 years ago? Yeah. That's the case. You people, you're indestructible. Indestructible. That's the, why? Because since we are taka, it's a nachamu. To change, and we're taking the literal translation of the word nachamu. Change the attitude that you could have nechama, that indeed why is indeed we are people who are indestructible. Okay, let's now go to another quick idea. Another idea, Tu B'Av, one of the things that happened on Tu B'Av is one of the things is that the Haruge Beitar in Nitnu Likva, very fascinating thing. In the aftermath of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, there was another generation that suffered very, very much. We think, Tisha B'Av is over, very good, we're all done. Wipe our hands, we're all finished. That's not true. Just because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the Jews were exiled into Rome, there was a massive yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, especially in the city of Beitar. And there was a massive army. And for the next 52 plus years, there was a very possible reality that they would take back Yerushalayim and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and Mashiach would come. After like the Holocaust, everyone believed, after the Holocaust, Mashiach would come. So after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Mashiach's going to come. And who Taka believed this? Who was the leader of this philosophy? Rabbi Akiva. Okay, can you imagine, after the Holocaust, people really believed. That's what people tell me. It was the greatest disappointment. Not that the Holocaust was a horror beyond imagination, but to add insult to injury, that after the Holocaust, Mashiach didn't come. That was even more painful for religious people. After all this, and nothing? All the suffering, Mashiach didn't come? How could that be? How could that possibly be? The ultimate tragedy in history happened, the Klal Yisrael genocide, and Mashiach still didn't come? Impossible. Impossible. That was even a bigger challenge for many people than actually what happened. There's a purpose to the suffering. Okay, it's not easy. I mean, it's impossible for most, myself for sure. But if there's a goal, there's a goal. And the goal was not achieved. So this is nothing new. More things change, the more they stay the same. After the Churban Bayis Sheni, the expectation was very high. Mashiach is coming. And Rabbi Akiva led the way, and there was a dynamic, charismatic person by the name of Bar Kochva, and he was poised, and he could have been Mashiach. And guess what happened? It just didn't work out. Not to go the whole story, a lot of stories. And the end was, Beitar was destroyed. And together with Beitar being destroyed, the Asura Haruge Malchus were killed in this generation. They were destroyed. And there was so much blood that the Romans used the blood of the slain victims of Beitar to fertilize their vineyards for 7 years. And the dead were not buried, as the Goyim could not care less about the dead of the Jewish people, the dead of their victims. The dead bodies were piled up in the field like in a fence around the vineyards. They didn't care. After 7 years, miraculously, the government gave permission for the Jewish people to bury the dead, and lo and behold, the miracle occurred where the dead bodies were not, they did not decompose, and they were given a dignified burial. So we have to understand that Tu B'Av is really the end of Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av was a Churban, but there was another generation. And that generation suffered enormously. And when that generation, when their suffering was over completely, after the whole sequence of events, after they were destroyed in the Taurus, and now their bodies were buried, now it's over. It's not really over until today, because these last days between Tisha B'Av and Tu B'Av are really the days that we are focusing on the Churban of the next generation of Beitar, because there was another Tekufa that concluded the era of the Bayis of the Churmes HaMikdash, and now today is that day where indeed it comes to an end. We have Nechama, Nachamu. The Nechama is that the Harugei Beitar have dignity; they're buried. And the end of the era is complete in a dignified way. We also, it's a dignity that we come to peace with the Asara Gemalchus. That's really a Harugei Beitar, is also the Asara Harugei Malchus. They were also buried, L'choira. I mean, not all of them were buried, some were thrown to dogs, this and that, burnt. But the Nechama is here as well. And what did Chazal do to eternally remember the Harugei Beitar? What is Hatoy V'Hameitiv? Wine. Every time a person drinks a cup of wine, a better, well, they're two different, they're two and the same. Number one, whenever a person is at a meal and they're serving wine and then they bring out better wine, you make a special bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Elohim Melech Olam. Hatoy v'hameitiv. And what else? When you bench, instead of there being three blessings for Birchas HaMazon, you make a fourth blessing. Now the truth is, the fourth blessing is really for the wine. When you bench, what are you benching on? A kois shel yayin. When a person benches, you're supposed to always bench, even as an individual. We don't do this today. But according to the letter of the law, when a person benches, you're always supposed to bench on a kois shel yayin. That's the halacha. During the week, on Shabbos, one, even alone, even if you're all alone. That's what you're supposed to do. We don't do this. That's another topic of discussion. Wait a minute. If you're benching on a cup of wine, is that cup of wine better than the cup of wine that you drank during your meal? When you drink, when you have breakfast, don't you have a cup of wine every morning for breakfast? Now when you bench, you have another cup of wine on of the benching. So isn't the cup of wine that you use for the benching better than the cup of wine that you use for the meal? Yes. Why is it better? Because it's for benching. That's right. You make hatoiv, hamelech, hatoiv, hametiv, hakol shebechol yoyim v'yoyim. The reason why you make hatoiv, hametiv, people don't realize this, the reason why you make hatoiv, hametiv, when you bench, is because you're supposed to be benching on wine. And when you wine, you make the bracha hatoiv, hametiv. And when you bench, they just elaborated, embellished the bracha hatoiv, hametiv in a much more grand way. But isn't it strange, Rabbi Sai, that they should be misaking to remember to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the dead, over a tragedy? It's such a horrible tragedy that happened. Why would Chazal commemorate the murder and the death, of how what happened to these people, over wine? It's a very similar answer. We'll conclude with this. And the answer is, why was Beitar destroyed? What was the cause of their Avera? Chazal say they rejoiced over the Churban of Yerushalayim. How could that possibly be? What does that mean? It's Chazal Mamash, the Ferish Gemara. When the people of Beitar would go up to Yerushalayim three times a year, be Oile L'Regel, they were taken advantage of. Oh, you're coming Aliyah L'Regel. Oh, you're coming to the hotel. You have to pay. You got to pay. You want a room? You got to pay $1,000. Oh, you want breakfast also? More money. You want a parking spot? More money. You want someone to go do your laundry? They felt that the people of Yerushalayim took advantage of them to a degree that was not proper, because they have a mitzvah being oile l'regel, And the people there took advantage. They took advantage of someone else's vulnerability. So when Yerushalayim was destroyed, they, in their hearts, they had a little joy. Now, obviously, they weren't dancing in the streets, but Chazal were yoyred l'sev daitoy shel adam. Oh, they got what they deserved. We went, we oyla l'regel, and we went to the hotel. Oh, you know, they were not nice to us. They took advantage of us. They got what, there was a shtickle, a tipa shebe tipa, shmina shebe shmina of simcha, yeah? Could be, there's another idea. There's a different idea, so I don't want to say now. Could be, but I'll finish it very quickly. That simcha, ein simcha el al hayayin. So this is something we have to remember. Today is Tu B'Av. Today is the day when the Haruge Beta were buried. Because of that, Chazal Mesakin, when you drink wine, you make a toiv ha-made. What are Chazal telling you? It's not pleasant. We think, oh, Hashem did a beautiful miracle. The dead were buried. Dignity! Dignity for the dead. We have to give Shevach v'hoidah al-lechayim to the Ribbono Shel every time we make a bracha yayin. It's a very superficial reason why you make a bracha yayin atomative. You know what you're doing is, you're reflecting, they died. And when these people die, when the people, you're reflecting on the Churban. In Yerushalayim, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the people of Beitar, they toasted the L'chaim. Ah, yayin! Simcha! Ein simcha ela al hayayin! They rejoiced. We now have to be misaking that. And because they rejoiced, they died. They were killed in a brutal way. So when it comes to this part of the Birchas HaMazon, you take that cup of wine and you say, we made it. You reflect, wow, look what we did. When they died, we had joy. We have joy. We have to be makabel upon ourselves never ever to abuse the blessing of simcha in this world. It's not a joy. How could you rejoice over the people who died in Beitar? It's a reminder. Don't abuse the bracha of simcha. Simcha is given to man to rejoice over good things. Don't use the feeling of simcha to rejoice over the fall of your enemies. B'nefol oivecha al tismach. Joy is something that's very delicate. When you pick up a cup of wine and you make hatoiva hametiv, what do you think about it for a second? What am I happy about? Is this really a correct reason to be happy? Or maybe I'm being happy for the wrong reason. In Beitar, they were happy for the wrong reason. And because of that, they were obliterated. So maybe when I pick up a new cup of wine to express a higher level of joy, I should think twice. Why am I really happy? Is it for the right reason or is it for the wrong reason? That's the more mature reason why we focus on wine. It's like a check. The gilu bira ad. Make sure the joy is pure. It's not a joy that's built upon mischabed b'kolon shel chaveira. May you all have a wonderful Shabbos, a Shabbos of Nechama and Bracha.